Hey, it's Sean Spicer.
And I'm Katie Pavlich.
The midterm elections are approaching and the anticipation is building with each passing day. President Trump's in full stump mode, traveling the country and campaigning for his fellow Republicans in Congress. It goes without saying, there's a lot on the line when Americans go to the polls on November 6th.
Stay up to date with the latest news and information by subscribing to our new podcast, Everything's Going to Be All Right. It's available now on radio.com, iTunes, or wherever you go to download your podcast.
That's Everything's Going to Be All Right.
Subscribe today and don't miss out.
Friday afternoon, wrapping up that roundtable, feeling pretty good about that, Jane. It was a lively one.
It was a good one.
We are pointed toward election day. No, it's almost
thankfully
here. So my wife and daughter are on an airplane to Colorado right now.
You're batching it?
Yeah, I'm going to miss them so much this weekend, Jane. I won't know what to do with myself.
My husband and my daughter are on the road to Chicago.
Look, I deeply, deeply love my wife and my daughter. I have a lot of fun with Alexa. I took her to her first football game, and she caught her first fish last week, and we just had a blast.
I've seen that on Facebook.
Yeah, but you know how it is, especially when you're 53 years old and you have a 3.5-year-old. A little me time is okay. Now,
I'm binge-watching TV tonight. That's what I'm gonna do.
We finished Ozark, finally.
Oh, wasn't it great?
Really good.
Season 2 was really strong. Really
I think it was
strong.
If Laura Linney does, I don't know how the nominations with the deadlines go for Emmys, et cetera. We have the Critics' Choice Awards will come up, and we might nominate her. She was great though this season.
Oh, and the girl who plays Ruth,
phenomenal. Forget her
too.
Name. That actress, she
great.
Really good.
Yeah, the women really, really ruled in this season.
But I invited you to go to the show with me tomorrow night because Becky's out of town and you have some plans. But I'm going to the Gaslight Theater. I've never been to previously. But when I went to New York with my son, I took my 18-year-old, as a little graduation trip in August. We saw Kinky Boots. It was fantastic.
Great show.
There's an actress by the name of Carrie St. Louis who was in that cast. She played Glinda in Wicked on Broadway. She was Sherry in Rock of Ages. She's Lauren in Kinky Boots. She sings. She's funny. She reminded me of, I'd say like an Amy Poehler or, even Kate McKinnon on SNL. So I hit her on Twitter after we saw the show and I said, look, fan for life. I thought you were fantastic. And she responded because she saw that I was from St. Louis and her name is St. Louis and she had never been here.
She said,
I'm coming. This was beginning on. She's like, I'm coming to St. Louis to do my one person show. So she's at the Gaslight Theater tomorrow night. All I will tell you, it's an 8 p.m. show, is if you want to laugh, if you want to just see someone who's really talented, funny, great singer, beautiful. She was on my show a few weeks ago. Go see it because I think it's going to be fantastic. So I got to give a big plug for that for tomorrow night. Let's see what else do I got here.
Well, it's my godson's engagement party, so I have.
Well, no, you have to go. That's fine. Listen to this story. Have you heard about this coach, this basketball coach, that is at a Christian? I think it's a Christian college. It's called the Nation Christian Academy, and this guy's name is Mike Woodbury. He grew up in Maine. He's coached youth teams there for 2 decades, and there was a kid that came in, a high school player, wanting to transfer from Nation Christian, and he has this kid, I guess this guy is from Haiti originally. You're going to see some stuff in here. He's a former star at a high school, went on to play at the University of Maine, Stonehill College. And it was one of those things where I'm trying to see where this was recorded, but the audio tape got leaked here. And just listen to it because it is quite jarring. Now, this is one of those, when I first heard it, when I first heard about it, I thought, you know what? This is touchy-feely kid, snowflake. The coach really is just being a coach, a little profanity, never hurt anyone. But check this out.
I don't want to hear from him. Bottom line. The next thing I hear from him, get the out. Just walk the out. I don't give a I control transcripts. I control where you go next. It could be back to Haiti. That's how easy it is for me.
All right, just to clarify here, because, yeah, you hear him threaten him. He says you could go back to Haiti. He's a high school player, okay? I mentioned this other high school kid that went to the University of Maine. He was quoted in the story because he also had experience like this when he played at this particular Christian school. So this goes on. I mean, it gets worse.
I'm the one thing that you don't want to cross because I'm the dirtiest, baddest in this earth. Like, because you don't want to get on my... First of all, you can't get to my level. You can't. It's like I said when I came out and you tried to... You tried to get out and coach Liz and say you're going to... I'm going to show you this. And what did I tell you? I'm going to send your little... Shut up, stupid ass. I screenshot it.
Yeah, there you go, right?
You know what that's called? What is that called? face.
I don't know what
it's
that's called.
Extortion.
I've never seen
it's
that.
It's called extortion. I have it on a text message, you dumb. I screenshot it.
I'm gonna say if you don't, if you're not doing
exactly.
this for me, I've been done
talking. Stop talking.
I've been there.
So what he's alleging there is that there was a text message that indicated an attempt to extort money.
Control everything. I just want you to really know that.
You control
hey,
what?
I'm gonna in your the next time you talk out of line. I'm gonna
what?
Take everything from you and let it be known. I'm saying it out loud. I'm gonna take everything from you. I'm gonna end everything you've ever had.
Okay.
And then I'm gonna show that. Right, that you one text message that you put at 18 years old to the head of a school. Look up the word. Look up. I know you're retarded. So
yeah.
take one of your friends and have them look up the word extortion for you.
Right,
and if you need some help spelling it, right? Maybe
right?
Simon can put it on word check.
Wow.
Okay,
I mean,
wow.
How about that? He issued a statement on Twitter. He did not return phone calls. He said, "I'm in no way justifying the language. However, there are two sides to every story." This conversation did not take place at school without indicating the player too much. There were multiple conduct issues while this student was attending school and living in my home with my wife and son. So, there are two sides to every story, but that seems a little overly harsh. Now, I don't know what the text message said or anything like that, but still, he's a professional. He's an adult.
What he's claiming. I mean,
seems weird, right?
Yeah, that's. I think.
Did you see? You know, the other thing, a local story that came out. Did you see the Fight Club video from this week with the daycare?
I can't even.
So that was another one when I first heard about it and I started watching the video. I'm like, okay, come on. These kids are just having fun. But the more I looked at it, I'm like, okay, that's way over the top.
That is so creepy. And to be encouraging that and cheering it on, I mean,
it's a little bizarre.
I can't. What is wrong with people?
I don't know.
Does it really please you to have toddlers beating the crud out of each other? Look, I get that kids scuffle and, but this is like Fight Club.
Well, if the kids were all just jumping around having fun, that's one thing.
No,
but
this
they
was Fight
weren't
Club.
All having fun.
No, it was Fight Club. And you have adults, egging that on, encouraging it, setting it up, doing it. I don't understand.
No, wasn't a good thing. All right, we're going to take a break. We are going to, with my friend Kathy Kaiser, fellow movie critic. Kathy took issue with a tweet that I sent out last week after seeing Bohemian Rhapsody a couple weeks ago, actually.
I did not like
the movie.
You're ruining. Stop.
But Kathy liked it. We're going to battle about it. I'm going to tell you why I didn't like it. That's coming up.
Your home for the best blues coverage. America's Sports Voice. KMOX.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Rhapsody. What is that?
It's an epic poem.
It goes on forever. 6 bloody minutes.
I pity your wife if you think 6 minutes is forever. We're going to release it as our single.
Not possible. Anything over 3 minutes and the radio stations won't program it.
Jane, big opening today. Long anticipated Bohemian Rhapsody, the story of Freddie Mercury and Queen. And we have a difference of opinion.
I am here to judge this difference of opinion because you're ruining me by saying.
Well, let's be patient here. Kathy Kaiser is with us in the studio. She reviews movies for matineechat.com. We've known each other for a while here, fellow critic.
7 years.
You, I did something I probably shouldn't have done because you tweeted out how much you love the movie. And then I was in a crabby mood that week. And
really?
I know. It's hard to tell, right?
Shocker.
And I responded because, I mean, I thought this movie was complete and total and utter crap. I'm so mad about it because I love Queen. I love Freddie Mercury. He's one of the, if not, I put him in the top 5 frontmen of all time.
Absolutely.
And I don't know that I put Queen in one of the best bands of all time, but a lot of their music was really good. And I certainly love the story. But this movie gets so much wrong, and that's the problem that I have with it. Now, I understand. I'm going to let you have your say.
Okay.
I get storytelling devices.
Listening.
I get composite characters. You heard in that bite. Here's something interesting. Mike Myers is in this movie. You remember that scene from Wayne's World with Bohemian Rhapsody.
Right.
He told that story. I used that as cut of the day yesterday. He was on Colbert.
Uh-huh.
He plays this guy named Ray Foster, who's a music company. He's like, doesn't exist in real life. He's nearly unrecognizable in this movie. And look, composite characters, that's very common. This is not a documentary, so I get that. But it just seems so cookie cutter, so sanitized. You should not have, in my opinion, a PG-13 rated movie about a decadent rock band, about a guy who used to do, or at least he had, and they have a version of this to a certain extent in the movie where Freddie liked to have, and he called them freaks. He goes, let's get all the freaks at my house, and he did lines of cocaine off of midgets' heads. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But I just thought that the whole movie, and Rami Malek, who plays Freddie Mercury, does a pretty good job here. So I will say that the performance is arguably better than the movie. Although I think he's a little overpraised for this performance. It still didn't rise to the level that I expected. But I just was disappointed, Kathy, because I expected so much more. And I think, and this is what I told you, I think Freddie Mercury would be pissed. I think Freddie would be mad about this because it is in no way, shape, or form an accurate representation of how the band came together, how he joined the band, when the music came out.
Are you saying they mess with the facts?
Oh, like beyond mess with the facts.
What he's saying is they literally did not put the songs in sequence throughout the film.
So let me give you an example.
Okay.
And
so
I don't want to, there's a few things that I don't want to say in this because I don't want to spoil it for people
right.
who will see
exactly.
the movie.
Right, exactly.
But when it comes to We Will Rock You, I was 12 years old, 1977, huge song.
I was
took over high school gymnasiums and junior high gymnasiums
yes.
and, you know, football stadiums. In this movie, they have it coming out in 1980, not 1977. Why? What is the point of that? There is no storytelling device that would make that okay.
Right.
Now, a little background here, too. Bryan Singer, who's the director,
yes,
was removed from this project for a variety of reasons. He had
correct.
Some indiscretions with a young boy. He was showing up late for work. So they pulled him off the project. He still gets credit here for directing the film. Anyway, I've monopolized the time.
Yeah,
and I have more to say.
Let's hear the other side
but
here.
Before I let Kathy go, I will say this. More people are arguably going to agree with you than me after they see this movie. So I'm just going to...
No, I don't know. I've looked at a couple reviews since I wrote mine. I never read anything until I've written
mine. But I'm talking
mine
about the movie going public. I
yes.
think that the people, the movie going public who wants to go to the theater and see this movie and is excited about this movie, and by the way, I was really excited about it, I think they'll think it was okay. Having said that, I hated it. Go ahead.
Okay.
Kathy Kaiser, go.
All right.
And why did I love
it?
Okay, you want to hear the other side?
Yes.
From an entertainment standpoint, I absolutely loved it. You have to remember, Mark and I, like I said, are the same age. Mm-hmm. And I've had...
As is Jane.
Okay,
yeah. We're all the same age.
Okay, perfect.
She didn't know that right away. I just want that clear for the record.
Well, she thought you were older.
No, I thought you were a lot younger.
It happens.
Anyway, back to the movie.
Yes.
No, I really enjoyed it from an entertainment standpoint. I couldn't wait to see the movie, just like Mark. I couldn't wait to see Rami Malek play Freddie Mercury.
Right.
I enjoyed every minute of it. Now, to Mark's defense, yes, they take a lot of things out of sequence. But
okay.
the minute
like
that,
a lot of things
out of sequence.
And they don't tell you that, or how do you
they took creative liberties in the fact that they tried to tell this story, and I think that they manipulated
and moved stuff around to do it.
Okay, a small example here. Just and I mentioned We Will Rock You. Okay, let's give that a pass. Freddie Mercury was diagnosed with AIDS after the Live Aid concert. The Live Aid concert is, and that's actually interesting, the whole last 20 minutes of the movie is a recreation of that concert.
Right.
But he didn't have AIDS until after that. The movie has that very different. That's just another example. Again, I could point out six or seven things. Rolling Stone did a piece about this.
Right.
And some
right.
other music publications.
I remember Fat Bottom Girls is in the wrong place, too.
Yeah, yes. That was, yes. That's later. Right.
Right.
Okay.
And that's one of my favorite Queen songs. But, you know, like I said, I was excited to see the movie. Mm-hmm. I took my girlfriend who at 16 years of age, you know, her name is Karen Krause. Shout out to Karen. Saw Queen live here in St. Louis.
Okay.
Begged her parents to let her go at 16 to go see it. My parents
was that like
at
the 1981 show at the arena?
Yes.
Yeah.
So she saw them live at the arena and she sat next to me and the whole time she was, you know, apprehensive. I kept telling her, it's a PG-13 film. They're not going to annihilate Freddie and his sexuality and all that. It's rated PG-13. I took that as a positive in the fact that a lot of youngsters, millennials,
right.
who are coming into loving this music that we all grew up with and that we all absolutely loved, are going to get to see it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Which
I mean,
I think is part,
younger,
I understand
I think
that.
That that's part of the movie making process and why they did it that way, is that a lot of younger viewers can see it.
I guess what I want to know, though, because obviously you want to tell a good story. And sometimes when you're not saying, okay, it's not a documentary. It's never been billed as a documentary.
And I get
right,
that.
Right,
which is, you
right.
know what I mean? So you would expect absolute, you know.
But Jane, if the truth is more interesting than the things they made up, why not go
with
the truth?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. So were the things moved around in order to,
I think
was
that
it clear
they,
why they would have done that?
Well, because you're consolidating time, right. A 20-year period into 2 hours.
And you're trying to get in
hours.
Very important parts of their music that everyone and knows and loves.
And have a cohesive story.
Yes.
They had to.
Yes.
So, yeah. I was challenging.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I was very excited about the fact, too, that they worked in Mary Austin, which was totally the love of Freddie Mercury's life.
But they messed that up, too.
Well,
it was not even close to being accurately portrayed. Again, I better be quiet because
it's okay.
I just think that if the truth is more interesting than the things they made up, they should have gone with the truth a little bit more. Here's the backstory here, and this is one of the reasons maybe I'm disappointed. Sacha Baron Cohen wanted to make this movie, Borat, right? He wanted to play Freddie Mercury.
Right.
He had a plan. And I think he wanted to maybe even direct it. But Brian May and the band wanted something originally, and this is what Sacha Baron Cohen told Howard Stern a couple years ago that the band, and I don't think he mentioned Brian May, but I'm pretty sure it was Brian May. The band wanted this story where the middle of the movie was when Freddie died, and then they would tell the rest of the Queen story. Well, here's a little hint, Brian May. There ain't no rest of the Queen story after Freddie died.
Nobody,
I know you guys have been touring and stuff, but people don't want to know about that because nothing happened.
Right.
They want to know how this band came together and how Freddie became this iconic figure. And the sexuality is very important because if you think about it, we all knew that, you know, he was gay. We all knew that Elton John was gay. It wasn't really something that was spoke of
nobody
at the time, but nobody really cared about that.
No,
they cared about the
cared.
Music.
He was an incredible human being who was a creative genius when it came to what he developed and the type of music that they
Rhapsody
created.
Genius. And I bet everybody did
genius.
Say there's no way you're ever getting this through. And people lived for that. I laughed
at that line in the movie about, you know, if your wife only gets 5 or 6 minutes, you know.
Right.
You know, I mean, it was hilarious in the movie. And, you know, from an entertainment standpoint, this is why I told everyone that I love it as much as I do. It was an enjoyable film. I mean, I'm going to agree with Mark
people
in the fact
more people
that,
are going to side with you on this. And I recognize
that. But I'm not saying you're wrong, because you're not wrong.
Oh, no, I'm right. I'm absolutely right.
He's always right,
going to the movie, though. Are you going to get the exact details and you want to unravel someone's life? Or are you a huge Queen fan?
Right. And you've heard
you want to hear all the songs.
Every song that you were hoping to hear, like I said.
And you want to see a guy
when Fat Bottom Girls hit, it was not even a significant 2-minute part of the movie, but I was ecstatic.
Right.
And the fact that I was sitting there with my girlfriend, you know, trying not to talk in the middle of the movie, because, you know, critics don't do that, right, Mark? There we go.
We'll go out with this here.
You know, she was ecstatic, too. And she was ecstatic from the standpoint of she has loved them her whole life. Her and I used to battle Freddie and Prince on a weekly basis. And she was ecstatic that they didn't annihilate the fact that the man was a private individual who didn't want all of his stuff out there in the public.
But they did get his relationship with his cats right, from what I understand. Because he used to have, seriously, he loved his cats. He had little rooms in his mansion his cats. So that was, I think, properly represented. We're out of time. Kathy Kaiser, thanks for coming in defending the movie. Because I get that people are going to like this movie.
They're going to love it. They're going to love me more than you.
One of the worst movies of the year. I'm just going to say that. MatineeChat.com. Thanks, Kathy. Good to see you. And by the way, I'm going to talk about a really good movie called Destroyer. And the director and her husband, who's the screenwriter, are in St. Louis for the St. Louis International Film Festival. Karin Kusama, who did Girl Fight many years ago with Michelle Rodriguez. That goes back a long time.
Awesome.
Her new movie, Destroyer, starring Nicole Kidman, played at the film festival. It's going to open up probably not until after the first of the year. It's the opposite of Bohemian Rhapsody. It's a great movie. That's coming up on KMOX.
Hey guys, it's Alex Ferrario. Join me and Amy Mark Scores for Chili's Week in Hockey as we dive deep into the Blues season every Monday night. Notes from around the league and everyone's favorite, What's Up With That? 8 to 10 Monday nights on KMOX.
St. Louis International Film Festival kicked off last night. Big screening for a movie called Destroyer. And the director of that film and her husband, the screenwriter, are in town. Karin Kusama, Phil, hey, let me play a clip from the movie. This is Nicole Kidman looking nothing like Nicole Kidman in a gritty crime drama.
I know your whole story.
Placing our agent undercover, she'll look right enough next to our guy.
If we do this, we accept the consequences.
Yes.
Do you love me?
You know I do.
You chose to play cops and robbers. And you lost.
That's a good movie, and we have the director and the screenwriter in the studio with us, Karin Kusama. Phil Hay, welcome to KMOX. How are you?
We're great. Thank you.
Nice to be here.
Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
I'm going to tell you something right now. And I'm going to be honest with you, okay?
Uh-oh.
You want honesty. No, it's not an uh-oh. There's nothing worse than having to do one of these when you don't like the movie. Because, and I've had plenty of those, right? I loved this movie.
Oh,
I
cool.
loved it. And here's what I'll tell you. This time of year, I always look for films that sort of just draw me in and really kind of blow me away a little bit. And I'm telling you, this movie did that last night.
Oh, that's
I
awesome.
Thought it was fantastic. And I want to talk about it here and Nicole Kidman. But Karin, let's talk about you just a little bit because you're from St. Louis.
I am from St. Louis, born and raised.
You can answer the high school question.
I went to Ledoux.
Ledoux, right?
I went to Ledoux, yep.
So when did you were you born here in St. Louis?
I was born here.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I guess I had forgotten that you've, for people who might not be familiar, we should mention some of your other films. Girl Fight,
yep.
right? When was that?
That was 2000.
That was a long time
ago. And
that
premiered at the St. Louis Film, that had one of its screenings at the St. Louis Film Festival. That was the first film I played here.
And Michelle Rodriguez was virtually unknown at the time,
yeah.
wasn't she?
She was working in a Toys R Us in
You're kidding
Jersey
me.
City.
Wow,
yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
And then a couple of the other movies, Aeon Flux,
yep.
right? What else am I missing here? A couple of horror.
Jennifer's like, Body.
Right.
And The Invitation, which also played at the film festival here. I did a short film for a horror anthology called XX. And now I've got Destroyer.
And Phil, how long have you guys, I guess, working together and or married? Do these
yes.
things kind of crisscross together?
Yes.
Were you working together, I guess, before your marriage is my question.
We were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have now, this is the third movie we've worked on together, along with my writing partner, Matt Manfredi. And we met at Sundance, actually, when Karin's film Girl Fight premiered there, but just kind of met each other. And it was years later that we got together, and now we work together and are married and have a kid. So
we've done three movies
well.
Together.
We're going to spend more time with Karin because Phil's a Dodgers fan, he has admitted. So we may, at least you're not a Cubs fan, though. You know?
No. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
okay.
I never should have revealed that, but I'll just go sit in the corner now.
We're okay with that. Give me the setup of this movie. I'm advantaged here over the audience. I saw it last night.
Right. I would call Destroyer a gritty crime thriller, a Los Angeles film noir about an L.A. detective played by Nicole Kidman who goes on an odyssey across Los Angeles to reconnect with the remaining gang members of a criminal gang that she was placed undercover with 17 years prior.
Fair to say this is not the Nicole Kidman that we typically see on the big screen. She looks a little different here, right?
Very, very fair. I mean, she led the charge on really transforming herself, you know, mind, body, and soul.
You know, I've pulled up, and for those listeners right now, I can't do this on the radio, but if you go to IMDb and you pull up the story, you'll see the you know, what she looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see sort of the slide for the film. Phil, when you wrote this movie with your partner, did you have someone in mind or not to play that role?
We really didn't. We thought, we never really wrote it directly toward any specific actor. We had this a very specific vision of, at least in my mind, what she looked like, what she felt like, you know, how she
didn't
moved.
Look like Nicole Kidman until this,
exactly.
right?
And then what's kind of amazing is the second Nicole became interested and started talking to Karin, it became so clear, even though it really, almost because it is so different than anything she's done, it became impossible for me to imagine anybody else. So I'm really glad that it worked out.
Yeah.
So how did it work out? How did this come together with her?
She's like one of those rare actors who doesn't need an offer on the table to read a script. I can't stress how rare that is. And it's just a wonderful quality because she's just like curious and open and wants to know what's out there. And she got a hold of the script and she sort of sought us out, which was really cool. And then once we started talking, we talked about sort of a direction to take for hair and makeup and costume and weapons training, and she just went all in.
It's such an interesting character. It's a dark character. I like this movie for a variety of reasons, but you have to, it's a thinking person's movie mm-hmm. from the standpoint of the narrative, right?
Yeah.
Because
it's a complicated narrative.
It is, but I like that too.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's some time jumps in here, right?
Yep.
And you're not really sure until the end what all those are. And yes. I didn't see the end coming. That's what I don't want to ruin anything, but I did not see the end coming. I liked it a lot.
Excellent. Yeah, we felt like it is such a, you know, I feel like this is a movie that we hope, you know, rewards your investment in it. And that, you know, it asks, hopefully it's a movie that asks you to kind of dive in and hopefully rewards you when you do.
I think it does. I really do. And is it a Christmas Day release?
It's Christmas Day in New York
Limited,
and LA.
Right?
And then it'll release wider in late January.
Yeah, so we probably, these are awards types movies. They get released for, you know, for awards consideration and then go wider, and we'll probably get it in January, late January or something like that. But that's exciting. And look, I'm going to try to lead the charge here a little bit for my group, the Broadcast Film Critics, for Best Movie here.
Right,
because I see Nicole being mentioned as Best Actress. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say anything's a lock because you never know.
Yeah.
I think there's a really good chance of that. But I'd like to see the film get a little bit more buzz, too. So
thank you. Thank you. Really appreciate
whatever
that.
Whatever part I can play in that, because it really is truly a movie that I liked. I saw two movies yesterday. I saw The Front Runner.
Nice.
And Jason Reitman's going to be here next week. That was a great movie.
Say hi to him. He's a good friend.
I will. I'm looking forward to it.
He's also
never
a big fan of St. Louis.
He loves St. Louis.
No, well, he did Up in the Air here.
Yeah.
And then I saw yours last night. And it was so nice to see back-to-back two really strong movies. I want to mention a couple of the other people that are in this movie, because Bradley Whitford plays a very small but potent role.
Yes,
and
right.
Just completely steals his scene, doesn't he?
Yeah. He. What I love about Bradley is he's so good at playing a good-hearted, earnest guy. We know this from The West Wing.
Right.
But when he wants to get funny and vicious, oh, man, he is just so, nobody beats him. So he really, we had so much fun working with him.
Well, and the other thing that really, I mean, I'm like a super fan here because I like the movie so much, but I have to compliment you guys on the score. I thought was
really
effective. Who did the score? Because it's very imposing and it sets, you know, I'm a music guy overall. Mm. So, and you guys know this as filmmakers and screenwriters, but the music plays an important role, which is setting the tone and how an audience reacts. And I was sitting there last night thinking, if there was a different score, I don't think I would have been, you know, as impacted. But it's so effective, it works really well here.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, we work with the same composer, Teddy Shapiro. I've worked with him on all of my films. He's a genius. He's a dear old friend of Teddy, of Phil and Matt's. And we all go way back at this point. And he and I and Phil and Matt always just had this kind of vision for a majestic, nerve-wracking score.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it works well. This may be a cliche question. I'll ask it anyway. Influences for you as a director. I guess, Phil, for you too as a film. I don't know, because I see a little, what I was thinking last night, just because I love his movies and he hasn't really made movies in a while, done some TV work, which you've done as well.
Mm-hmm.
John Dahl. And I love John Dahl's movies, right?
Gritty,
noir,
dark sensibility. Yeah, sure. Oh, for sure. He's made some important films. And we also really look to this kind of 70s French Connection, Taxi
Driver, Chinatown.
Right. These classic stories that, on the one hand, deliver on some entertainment value, but also ask a little bit of thinking and engagement from their audience and sort of say, I believe the audience can handle not always knowing exactly what's going on right now.
I believe the audience can do that too, and not enough filmmakers do it. I think you dumb it down for audiences, and you guys did not do that. So
thank you.
I think that's outstanding. Going back to your TV work, I know this was mentioned a little bit last night before for the movie. You did a couple episodes of The Man in the High Castle.
Yes, I did.
Which season?
I did the first and second season.
Okay, because I love that show. I watched the first season. I didn't ever continue for no other reason than I just got busy and I was watching other things. But I think the third season of that just came out too.
Yeah, it's true.
What are some of the other TV shows?
I've worked on every season of the 4-season show Halt and Catch Fire on AMC. I've worked on Billions for a couple of seasons.
Yeah, Giamatti and
I worked on a show that Jason Reitman actually is the executive producer of, Casual. I worked on a show for Showtime called Masters of Sex.
Oh, yeah. That was a big hit as well.
Yeah.
Well, how often do you get back here to St. Louis? How often do you bring hubby here to, you know,
not,
have barbecue?
Not enough,
and
but I think
Fritz's.
For lunch we're going to have some toasted ravioli.
It's a requirement.
It is a requirement.
It is a requirement.
I fell in love with the soft cheese spread on the Blueberry Hill hamburger.
So yeah, you were mentioning.
That's basically what.
Wait, did you used to work there?
I'm like, when are we going back to St. Louis?
I did. I actually ran into Joe Edwards in the lobby of the Tivoli, and you know, I started as a dishwasher there.
That's
and
funny.
I needed the. I just needed the money, and I always plunged my hands into the like scalding hot water, forgetting I needed to wear gloves. I still forget that. And then I graduated to, you know, every station of the kitchen at Blueberry Hill.
That's cool. Yeah. And then, you know, you mentioned the Tivoli played a very important role in just your education as a film fan and now a filmmaker.
Totally. I mean, the Tivoli Theater was one of the premier repertory programming theaters in not just the Midwest, in the United States. And so I got the benefit of watching great movies through my young teens and into early adulthood. I mean, that's how I got a huge film education. I got to jump on everyone at
Me
NYU.
Me too. I was one of those weird, you know, when I was younger, I had this good friend of mine who lives in Vegas right now, and we thought we were Siskel and Ebert. We'd go to the, you know, to the High Point and to the Tivoli. And then there was one, what was that theater that was on Clayton Road and Clayton too? Which one was it, Mark? Shady Oak. Maybe that was it. That was a lot of good, you know, just really interesting. We'd call them art films now, but more independent films.
Totally.
And I love those movies. Well, guys, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
I love talking about movies that I love. And
so relieved to hear that.
Destroyer is one of them, and I want people to see this movie. Probably not until after the first of the year. I think you're going to hear some awards buzz here very, very soon. Karin, Phil, thanks so much for coming in.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Cut of the day is sponsored by the Good Feet Store. Pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. I'm going to try to squeeze a few in here and break the rules. Maybe more than one cut. Audio Daily Double. This one fits for that. This is a Jeopardy answer. Maybe the worst ever.
100 plus assists in an NHL season has been accomplished only 13 times. 11 times by this player.
Joe. Who's Magic Johnson?
Oh, no. Diane?
Who's Wayne Gretzky?
Wayne Gretzky. We're talking about hockey, not the NBA.
Oh, my. My. And then Jimmy Kimmel did the Halloween candy video. I was going to do this with my daughter, but she already saw the Tubbo candy yesterday, so I couldn't fake her out, but a lot of parents did.
Mommy and Daddy got really hungry last night, and we ate all your candy.
But...
it's all gone.
But
we got really hungry, and so Mommy and Daddy ate it all.
I ate all your Halloween candy.
I'm very disappointed in you, Mommy.
I'm sorry, I love you.
I love you too, but I'm very disappointed.
Jimmy Kimmel told me to eat all your candy.
He's an idiot. He's a freaking idiot.
Do you still love me?
Well, not anymore.
We ate all of your Halloween candy.
Oh, no, this is fake. I know this.
Yeah. Okay, but where's all your candy then? You don't believe that I ate it.
Yeah, because you have showed us the videos.
Well, that parent messed up, showed him the Jimmy Kimmel videos from the past. I think my daughter would have sniffed this out. And then, let's see, do I have time? I have time for this. This is Kevin Killeen with Jamila Nasheed, one of our local state senators.
As we have to begin to solve the murders, some way, somehow, we have to be able to come up with strategic strategies.
Do you carry a gun for self-protection?
Oh, absolutely.
What kind?
380, sometimes a 9mm. You have to protect myself. Sex traffic is at its all-time high in the St. Louis area. I walk my dog at night. No telling who will come up and try to do something to me. But, you know, the issue is we have guns in the wrong hands.
Would you urge more law-abiding people like yourself to carry guns for self-protection in the city?
Everyone should have the opportunity to protect themselves.
I think that one speaks for itself. Those are your audio cuts of the day heading into the weekend here on KMOX.